Petrangelo shoots, save, rebound, score! Nicholas Waugh ties it! Rebound goal for Nick Waugh.
Live from the Findlay Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studio and live at lvsportsnetwork.com.
A steal for Colasar, charging out. Colasar, the righty, shoots and scores! Colasar on the breakaway.
This is the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, your home for access with the team, exclusive player interviews, and breaking news from around the National Hockey League. Here are your hosts, Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace.
Welcome in, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas. Ryan Wallace hanging out inside T-Mobile Arena. Chris Chapman back inside the Findlay Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studios. Findlay Chevrolet on the 215, home of the...
Woo!
It's a big game day. The Vegas Golden Knights, the Tampa Bay Lightning, that comes at you just a little after 7 o'clock. I'm going to be here all afternoon and all evening. Pre-game show starts at 6. I'll be here for the intermissions and the post-game show. Chris Chapman will get down here, and I'm sure he'll ask some very interesting and poignant questions in the post-game press conference. Win, lose, well, I was going to say, or draw, but that doesn't happen in the National Hockey League. But speaking of ties, 3-on-3 overtime, maybe we'll get to some developments, more information out of the Board of Governors meetings taking place in Florida over the last couple of days in the National Hockey League on many, you know, whether or not there might be some changes to 3-on-3 overtime, and we'll get to some other rule changes that are being bandied about by the NHL's Board of Governors, the general managers of all 32 NHL hockey teams. That'll be in one-timers in hour number two. We'll also get to Bruce Cassidy, his audio from earlier today, post morning skate ahead of tonight's game action against the Tampa Bay Lightning. We've also got some breaking news when it comes to the Philadelphia Flyers. Chris Chapman, I cannot wait to sink my teeth into this. We all know that this is a John Tortorella fan zone.
Don't even go there with me.
I generally enjoy me some John Tortorella. There's never a dull moment, it would seem, in covering the Philadelphia Flyers. And John Tortorella did something today that, frankly, I did not have on my bingo card.
Don't even go there with me.
You already played that one. You got to have more torts than that.
Everything's fine. Thanks for asking, though.
Everything's not fine, Chapman.
He shit his pants. He was puking. He was doing everything. So, enough.
I asked you very specifically not to play.
Oh, that's
that one
right.
This week.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, well, boy.
I was going through the torts.
Are those the three drops?
No,
you have
I've got one more.
Okay, let's hear it.
I don't like the way he does business. I don't like him.
I don't like him. I love it.
Who's he talking about there?
I don't remember. But, you know, I don't know. Maybe it was a former captain. We'll
or
get
a
into that.
Of the media. I don't know.
We'll get into that a little bit later on. John Tortorella, Sean Couturier, and the drama surrounding the Philadelphia Flyers. But we're going to kick things off right now with the word of the day. The word of the day is neon in the Hit the Jackpot on Fox Sports Las Vegas contest. You can win $2,024 a day. 702-876-1340. That's the text line. Text in neon, N-E-O-N, neon, to 702-876-1340, and you can be a winner. But Chapman, we're all winners today. We're all winners today because the Vegas Golden Knights, in just about 3 hours or so, they're going to take on the Tampa Bay Lightning. And I don't know if you're new here, but these two teams are incapable, Chad. I swear, incapable of playing a boring game.
Yeah, last year there was a line brawl?
Every single time Vegas and Tampa get together, I don't know what it is, I don't know what's in the water, but these two teams play fun, entertaining, rough, nasty, physical games. And I guess my question leading all of this off is, are we in store for that again tonight?
Well, I certainly hope so. Look, we could go back to year one with this team. And
yeah.
I had the conversation with Dan Duva on Sunday because Dan cut his teeth with one of the minor league organizations, with the Tampa Bay Lightning, as well as with the Trenton Devils. So for him, obviously, two games back-to-back with significance to his professional career. But We talked about it. And that first game in December of 2017, when Shea Theodore scored that goal with like 2.7 seconds to go in that game, something crazy like that. That third period was wild because, if memory serves me correct, Derek England took a penalty for throwing an opponent's stick.
That sounds accurate.
And
yes.
Tampa scored on the power play, and you're thinking, "Oh, we're going to overtime."
Mm-hmm.
And Shea Theodore said, "Nope, I'm sending you home all or home early," and ended the game with like barely any time left on the clock. So it kind of set the tone for this the series between these two teams. And it kind of set the tone that the Golden Knights were a legit team in that first year, and they didn't care who you were. They weren't intimidated by you.
So I guess the bigger question here is, why do these two teams play such entertaining games? Now, I would make the argument that the Golden Knights, by and large, don't play boring hockey generally. Like, they have a higher percentage of really entertaining games with essentially every team in the National Hockey League. And I think it's just a product of how Vegas plays and how much teams want to play the Golden Knights. But there's something different about Vegas-Tampa Bay. There's something extra special when these two teams get together. And I think when you look at it, just plainly, right? Since the Golden Knights came into the National Hockey League, the Golden Knights and the Tampa Bay Lightning have combined for 5 appearances in the Stanley Cup final. Not to mention 3 Stanley Cups between the two organizations. So, like, I think that, yes, there's a degree of they both play an entertaining brand of hockey. They're both highly skilled offensive teams that can really create, especially in transition. There's a high level of hockey IQ on both sides of the equation. But when it really comes down to it, I think both of these teams view each other as rivals. Even though they haven't had to play in a Stanley Cup final, I think the desire, the goal, the want on both sides, both Tampa and Vegas, is that that's going to be one of the biggest disappointments in terms of this window. If Vegas and Tampa don't meet in a Stanley Cup final, that feels like a missed opportunity, because I feel like both of these teams view each other in such high regard as similar types of organizations that there's a mutual admiration, there's a mutual respect, but at the same time, they view each other in such high regard that they just want to play for everything and make it all matter, even though they haven't met in a final.
Well, I think you touched on a lot of things here. A being, these are probably two of the maybe 4 or 5 marquee franchises in the NHL over the last 5-7 years. You know, you've had some other teams in the mix. Colorado certainly could make the case, and maybe, I don't know.
I don't know, but that I'd put Colorado there.
Well, I put them there because they beat Tampa in a Stanley Cup final. So I put them there because they got that matchup with Tampa. And Tampa has been, look, even before they made these 3 Cup finals, they won a President's Trophy. So clearly they, for many years, have been the standard that every team wishes to be during this window of hockey. So I think who cares that they beat Montreal? Like, that should have been Vegas. Let's be real.
That's my point.
We kind of got cheated.
We've been robbed.
And I don't mean like we as in Vegas was screwed in that series, like there was anything nefarious. I mean,
no,
we,
but Chapman,
as fans got
Chapman,
screwed out of seeing it.
You're touching on something. Think back to year one.
Yeah.
If not for the Washington Capitals beating Tampa Bay in the Eastern Conference Final, like, we're talking about a legitimate world here, Chapman, where the Golden Knights and the Tampa Bay Lightning could have met in 2 finals.
Yeah, yeah.
It feels like we've been robbed of something here.
And, I mean, I'll play devil's advocate and throw some more wood on the fire here and say, if not for all of those injuries that Vegas suffered 2 years ago, I mean, to think that team couldn't have pushed for at least a Western Conference Finals appearance. I mean, these have been the two best teams in the NHL over the last, since Vegas has come into the league. Mm-hmm. Like, I know that other teams, St. Louis, won a Stanley Cup, but they haven't been consistent. they haven't been back to...
It's one and done.
Yeah. Like, they got in, they took care of business, and they're done. Like, mm-hmm. they had no window. It was unexpected. It came out of nowhere, and they did it. Vegas and Tampa, year in, year out, are among the leaders in their respective divisions, in their respective conferences. I mean, Vegas has played in four Western Conference finals, mm-hmm. or four conference finals, I should say, in their history. And so it's a situation where, I mean, they've just been really damn good. I mean, look, they lost to that Dallas team. And that's another one that we could have seen, right? Yeah. Like if Anton Khudobin doesn't get hot in that series.
Oh man. Okay. So now you're painting a picture, Chapman, where it could have legitimately been 3 years in a row.
Yeah. I mean,
Vegas, Tampa in the finals.
I know you were an LA Kings fan and Frank was a Chicago Blackhawks fan. And yeah. those two teams had their battles.
Mm-hmm.
And it was cool to see, and it was a Western Conference thing. Like it didn't encompass all. And granted, those teams went on to win Stanley Cups.
To be fair, it didn't. You're right. It did not encompass the Stanley Cup final. But the Stanley Cup final from 2012, 2013, 2014 was effectively won in those series. Between LA and Chicago, whoever won that series those years won the Stanley Cup. And everybody in the hockey world knew it. It was just a formality, more or less, going to the Stanley Cup final as to who LA or Chicago would beat in those situations. But you're right, it loses its luster, its shine, when you don't get to have that marquee matchup in the Stanley Cup final.
Like, I mean, let's look at this from this standpoint. Tampa has been to three cup finals.
Mm-hmm.
They lost in an Eastern Conference final to Washington.
Yep.
Vegas has been to four or to two Stanley Cup finals.
Yep.
And they lost to Dallas and Montreal in consecutive seasons in the conference finals.
Yep.
So, I mean, that picture is painted. There, we have none. And on the alternative side, we could have had four.
Right.
Series between Vegas and Tampa for Stanley Cup trophies or for the Stanley Cups. I mean, it's incredible to think how good both of these franchises have been, and we haven't gotten that taste of these two teams in a final together.
No, but we get a sensation of what it could have been like or what it might have been like every single time they play in the regular season, and I think there's something to that in that these two teams have admiration and respect for one another, for sure. But there's something to measuring yourself against the best of this window or this generation or whatever you want to call it. There's no doubt in my mind. The Tampa Bay Lightning are one of the most successful franchises over the last 7 to 10 years in the National Hockey League. It goes back even further than just what they've been able to do since the Golden Knights have come into the National Hockey League. But the Tampa Bay Lightning are the model on which everyone else measures themselves against. The Golden Knights this season are the model on which everyone else measures themselves against. And I think that right now what you have is an opportunity for both hockey clubs in this game to just let it all go.
Let me ask you, because you and I are both on social media quite a bit.
Yeah.
Yet, and maybe it's because of just the fact that Elon has things all screwy and we maybe don't see it.
Okay.
But I don't see the hatred and the visceral and just people outright rooting against the Tampa Bay Lightning
mm-hmm.
the way I see people with that same attitude towards the Golden Knights.
Yeah.
Like, and Tampa's won two Stanley Cups. They also had some cap things that were make people unhappy.
Come on, just say it.
They didn't circumvent the cap. They did what was within the rules.
No. They didn't, but they made and love him for it. Nikita Kucherov.
Yes.
Made a joke out of it.
Yes.
They made T-shirts.
They had T-shirts
at the boat parade.
Like, yes.
They leaned into we used LTIR. Like, it is what it is.
So what?
It's the rules.
Yeah.
It's collectively bargained. Everybody knows that this is the rule book that you can play with. Why wouldn't you play with it?
I just love the fact that they embraced it. Like,
yeah,
you know,
100%.
I think despite the fact that Vegas isn't breaking any rules and they're not mm-hmm. doing anything, they should just embrace it. Embrace, we've talked about it. Embrace being the bad guy.
Well, like how do you embrace it? I don't know that there's anything you do differently here if you're the Golden Knights. Like,
well,
the Golden Knights have just gone about their business.
I guess they are embracing
it,
right? Like, yeah. I guess they are embracing it. They're just not bragging about embracing it like Tampa did.
I'm not saying that they're bragging about it at all, but I mean, you know, Kelly McCrimmon was quite busy last week, as he should be, right?
Yeah.
Going on all of the different hits in Canada on the radio here and there, and talking about what led to the decision making going into the trade deadline.
Yeah.
And again, like if you have, and I don't want to get too deep here on the LTIR front, but like we can get into it, sure. If you have a Mark Stone sized hole in your lineup, and you have no legitimate understanding as to what that recovery is going to be like because it's individualized and the rehab is so different from any typical hockey injury. And I was talking about it earlier today with Tyler Bischoff on his show. Like, I don't think that there's any, like, 95% coming back from what Mark Stone is dealing with. It's a lacerated spleen. Like, you need that thing to heal, and then you need to make sure you're 100%, and then and only then can you think about getting back on the ice. So if you have that hole in your lineup and you have built a winner around this team with that player inserted into the middle of your lineup as a key cog and a key piece, why in the world, if you have it available to you, would you not use that money, understanding he's not coming back for the regular season, and there's no guarantee that he's going to be back immediately in the playoffs either?
Well, Ryan, let's call it what it is. It would be irresponsible,
100%,
if any general manager who's trying to win a Stanley Cup leaves that amount of cap space unused. It's within the rules, you know. But getting back to the point about Tampa, like, there wasn't this huge outcry. Oh, they kept Kucherov on IR season.
No. There was initially,
but it
died
down.
When it was happening. It was a major story. When Nikita Kucherov comes into that post-game Zoom conference or whatever it was, and he's talking about how they're $18 million over the cap and, you know, X, Y, and Z, and it doesn't matter, and we're the best in the world, and I don't care. It was infuriating to the hockey world. It was infuriating. It was at times very similar to kind of the discourse you see now with the Vegas Golden Knights, or, you know, to a degree, some other teams in the National Hockey League. But the fact of the matter is, time heals all wounds, right? Like, when Tampa did it, previous to them, it was really only Chicago with Patrick Kane, and it paid off in a Stanley Cup, and it hadn't really been done to that degree. And then Tampa goes and they do it, and many other teams, because of the flat cap, because of COVID, have had to dip into LTI to kind of make things work. And it has been beneficial at times for some teams. It's been beneficial for some teams to be able to get to the salary cap floor, but we don't ever get mad about that, Arizona. But the fact of the matter is, like, in the moment when it was happening, especially because they were winning, the Tampa Bay Lightning were public enemy number one.
Yeah, I just don't remember it being as and I'm sure there were people who were very vocal about it. I just don't remember there being as, it was more like a vocal minority, whereas now it seems like with Vegas, it's fans of, I would say, probably 28 other teams, because I don't think Colorado fans, I don't think they're crying about it. But you know there's fans of certain teams north of the border who haven't stopped crying about it since they got their asses kicked in the playoffs last year.
You're obviously referencing Oilers fans.
I'm just saying, you know, certain
you're
teams.
Very clearly doing it.
Well, there could be a couple of other Canadian teams that cry about it again this year. So,
well, there might be. But again, like I don't think it matters all that much.
It doesn't matter to me, no. I mean, I could care less. Go out and do it. Do it. You know what? Use every single dollar that the CBA allows you to use.
Why wouldn't you? But that's the bigger question here. Why wouldn't you do that?
Well, because certain general managers aren't as good as Kelly McCrimmon.
There's that, obviously. You have to have...
Well, the other aspect is...
To have ownership.
Well, that's it. Not every franchise in the league has an owner like Bill Foley who comes in and sits down and listens to what Kelly McCrimmon wants to do and signs off on it.
Yeah.
You know, there's owners of teams in the league who refuse to spend money. There's owners of teams in the league who say, you know what, go out and get me that one superstar.
You have a window. You've touched on this idea of a window. Like, Tampa Bay has a window, right? And it's closing.
It's getting very close, yeah.
We know it's closing. Like, this is not the same Tampa Bay Lightning team. We're going to see a team on the ice that has some of the familiar bones of what we know to be the Tampa Bay Lightning, but they are not the same team as they were two, even 3 years ago, okay? They're just not. They're not as deep. They're really high-end skill good. Like, Kucherov's having a phenomenal year, criminally underrated, and I know it seems ridiculous talking about the guy that's second in the league in points as being underrated, but he is. Because Nikita Kucherov, in many ways, is the Tampa Bay Lightning, and he's getting next to zero consideration when it comes to the Hart Trophy. Every single conversation surrounding the Hart Trophy is, how many goals does Austin Matthews need to score to steal it from McDavid? Is McDavid going to overtake McKinnon? And can McKinnon keep McDavid at bay? No one's talking about Nikita Kucherov, but I digress on that point. The thing is, Chapman, when you're in a window to win, you have to be ruthless and you have to do everything that you can to win in that window. And I think that that's what Tampa Bay has done better than really any other team over the course of the last 10 years. They have recognized their window. They have gone out. They have acquired players. They have made shrewd decisions at the trade deadline to bring in players kind of in that middle ground in their career that they believe and they identify can help them win at cost-effective contracts. They have been able to get guys to take team-friendlier deals based on the fact that it's Tampa and you can win. And they have gone out, and when there have been injuries, they've replaced that money. When there have been opportunities to bolster their team, they have done it time and again. And it led to three straight Stanley Cup finals. It led to two Stanley Cup championships. And it leads to a team that, even though right now they're in a wild card spot, I don't think anybody wants to play them round one in the Eastern Conference.
Well, no. And I think some of a couple of the moves they made at the trade deadline, mm-hmm. like, I thought very underrated moves that not a lot of people talked about. Like, I think Anthony Duclair is brilliant. I mean, and he's already paid dividends.
A lot of speed with Anthony Duclair. I think he fits in perfectly with Tampa.
I like Matt Dumba. I mean, look, you're not going to replace Mikhail Sergachev.
No.
But Matt Dumba is a similar type of player, just a gritty kind of – like, Sergachev is one of those guys that I enjoy because – He's kind of a pain.
Yeah.
And he's got some snarl in his game, but yet he's a good player. He's a highly skilled guy. Again, Dumba not nearly as good, but I mean, if you're going to go out and get someone to kind of replicate what he does, I thought Matt Dumba was a really good pickup for them.
But the point that I'm making with Tampa is that the second best team there, or the next team that's trying to maximize their window in the same way that the Lightning did, are the Vegas Golden Knights. Like, flat out, if you want to talk about a team that is doing everything in their power to maximize this opportunity that's in front of them, to not be one and done, to deliver another championship, to do something truly special, to really hone in on what you need to do in the here and now to win, it's the Vegas Golden Knights. Like, these two teams are so similar in how they approach the game. Sure, on the ice, yes. In terms of coaching, sure, 100%. But how this front office thinks about the organization, how ownership supports the front office to go out there and build a team that can win right here, right now, and to a degree, even though the Golden Knights are a wild card team, I don't think that anybody in the first round is going to be excited if Vegas stays a wild card team to have to play the defending Stanley Cup champions, finding their game, getting healthier in the first round.
Well, certainly not the Vancouver Canucks if that's who Vegas ends up playing. I mean, look, I'm with you. I would not want to play either of these teams in the first round of the playoffs. I don't think I'd want to play either of them in the second round. I mean, if they're both fully healthy, they're both capable of making that run. I would say Vegas maybe more so than Tampa, because I feel like there's a little more maybe competition in the East, and it's a tougher road, I think, for Tampa. But, I mean, that's not to say that it's not a tough road for Vegas either, because certainly the team that comes out of that war of attrition in the Central Division, where I think it's an advantage for Vegas, is those three teams are all going to beat the crap out of each other to get to the Western Conference Final, whereas I think Vegas, a fully healthy Vegas team, I think we've seen they're better than Edmonton, they're better than Vancouver, they're better than Los Angeles, and I don't really know if it's particularly close in that regard.
So what you have tonight, and what you've had every single time Vegas and Tampa have played each other in the regular season since the Golden Knights have come into the National Hockey League, are mirror images, right?
Yeah.
They're mirror images of one another. They are teams that recognize and understand that they measure themselves against one another. They are teams that recognize and understand that they are the best at what they do year in and year out, and they are teams that realize this is their time. This is their time.
Yeah, I mean,
it's no surprise that they play phenomenal games every time they drop the puck.
Yeah,
the only shame in all of this is that we could have had two Stanley Cup finals between the Golden Knights and the Tampa Bay Lightning, and we've had zero.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people, once Vegas took care of Winnipeg. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people felt it was a bit of a foregone conclusion that Tampa was going to beat Washington. I mean, I was on the phone with my cousin setting up a place to stay because I have family in Tampa, and I was like, hey, you know, I'm going to be there. I assumed, wrongly, but I assumed that it was going to be Vegas and Tampa in that first final, and I was looking forward to it. I'm like, hey, be on the beach on the off days, and... You know,
that's the one that makes me angry.
Yeah, because Tampa was so close. I think the one that makes me angry is the Vegas losing to Montreal. Mm. It would have been a weird kind of final because it was the 56 game season and it wasn't traditional but because Vegas should have beaten the Canadiens. And you know, I know the sport's crazy sometimes and you know, things get weird, but I mean that to me is the one that hurts more so than the others.
Yeah, it's the year one for me. Number one, because I think Tampa would have been a better matchup for Vegas.
Generally
speaking. I think the final would have been better, obviously, than what we got out of Vegas and Washington.
Probably more entertaining.
And they were the two best teams that year. Like, how do you not want to see the two best teams go head-to-head in the Stanley Cup Final?
And then the following year was when Tampa won the President's Trophy and got swept by the Blue Jackets?
Sounds accurate. By a John Tortorella-coached team, and we call this a tease in the business. We're going to talk about John Tortorella next on the VGK Insider Show. Game day here on the VGK Insider Show. Ryan Wallace hanging out at T-Mobile Arena. Chris Chapman back inside the Findlay Fox Sports Las Vegas studios. You know, Chapman, we're going to get into this John Tortorella stuff here in just a minute, but you did an phenomenal job, really, last week filling in for me as I was under the weather. Darren Millard still recovering and still kind of working through his rehab protocol to get back on the air with us in more of a full-time capacity. And I never asked you yesterday, and I wanted to, but I didn't get a chance to. It was kind of a packed show, working all three of us back into the fold. But what was your favorite aspect of maybe not the insider show, but the pre-intermission and post-game? Like, as somebody that does the majority of those games, There's one aspect that I love more than any of the others. I'm curious to know what your favorite one was.
Well, there's a lot of aspects I enjoy. I mean, I enjoy the crosstalk with Dan Duva, but I will add this. I enjoy listening to the game with Dan.
Yeah.
Especially when I'm in the arena. It's kind of a different feel.
Like nothing like it.
The New Jersey game on Sunday was phenomenal. And I had done a preseason game, and it's not really the same preseason, right? It doesn't quite have the same passion. But that game on Sunday, it was special to me because it was the Devils, first of all. You know, the team that I grew up rooting for, a team that will always have a place in my heart. And to be able to sit in the arena, watch the game live, and listen to the call with another guy from New Jersey who also grew up rooting for those Devils.
Yeah.
And look, I'm not going to – I also have to include the phenomenal job that Gary Lawless does as well, because the insight that Gary's able to provide, like if you're not – and it's no knock on Shane and Dave, but like listening to the game is so cool on a radio broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
It's just different than watching it on television, and I can't quite explain why. But, I mean, I really enjoyed sitting there listening to the broadcast with Dan and Gary. I will say this. When we were in New York, when the Rangers came here a few years ago or a few weeks ago, whenever it was, December, early January, I got to sit in front of Sam Rosen, who is the television broadcaster for the New York Rangers, and I love listening to Sam Rosen on games.
Yeah.
I bumped into him in New York at MSG, and it was a national game, so he wasn't on the call, and I rode the elevator up with him, and I just told him that, you know, I got to sit in front of him in Vegas, and I thought it was such a cool experience, and he just said, oh, thanks, you know, we had a smile and, you know, kind of small talk, but yeah, it was cool listening to Dan and Gary on the call, and you know, talking to Dan after the game, and listening to the off-ice interviews is always cool too.
You know, it's interesting that you bring up listening to Dan and Gary, because, you know, that is something you can do. Like, you can bring in a radio set, and you can listen in to the game inside T-Mobile Arena. Like, it is a thing that you can do, and if you've never done it, I encourage you to. I really do, because it's one thing to hear the radio broadcast and, you know, you're listening to the radio and it doesn't necessarily sync up with TV. But when you are in the arena and you are hearing the action described by Dan Duva and you are hearing the fills, right? Think about it like as a musical progression from Gary, where he's able to interject his stories and his opinion and how things need to look and how things need to be. It's a different experience watching a game that way than just the natural ambiance that you get inside of arena. So if you've never done it before, I encourage you to do it. That's a really interesting point that you bring up. Now, I do want to ask you, because I think it's interesting, as somebody that has had an allegiance to a team before, and that's since died for me. I don't know how many people need to hear this, but I do not identify anymore as a fan of any particular team when it comes to hockey. It's long since gone for me at this point. But as someone that has had to kind of go into games or have these moments of impartiality when it comes to teams you used to root for and teams that you currently cover, like, how did you find that balance, Chapman?
Well, it's simple. I'm doing the broadcast for the Vegas Golden Knights. I'm part of their pregame show. I'm part of their postgame show.
Mm-hmm.
So any allegiance I may have to one team or another has to go out the door, because certainly I'm trying to appeal to a base of fans located here in Las Vegas or maybe Golden Knight fans in other parts of the world. I got a message from a friend of mine who, when I put it on Facebook, he was listening to the game in England.
Nice.
He said, I didn't know that I could listen to NHL. And the funny thing is, he's a Lightning fan. But he said, because it wasn't, he was based in Tampa when he was in the English military. But he told me that, you know, the game tonight is obviously very, very late in Newcastle. So he's unable to listen to this one. But he listened to the game in the UK. And he was like, I had no idea. So, you're talking to a fan base here in Vegas. So certainly they don't want to hear my homerism for, you know, my nostalgia for Scott Stevens or Scott Niedermeyer or Kirk Muller. And you know, so it was easy to separate. It's a bit of professionality. I can't even say the word professionalism.
There it is.
To have to be, you know, I tried to be impartial. I think I was very impartial. I wasn't rooting for the Devils, and I was quite happy to see Vegas win. Look, I was in New Jersey. I saw the Devils win a 6-5 thriller in Vegas. Mm-hmm. Part of the broadcast, I was happy to see the Golden Knights get that win.
Okay, so let's pivot from Chris Chapman and the great job that he did to John Tortorella. Okay, I woke up this morning, and I guess John Tortorella chose chaos.
Yes, he did.
I remember during one-timers like 4 weeks ago, Chapman, Sean Couturier named captain of the Philadelphia Flyers. And we're talking about 32 days here. It has been 32 days since Sean Couturier was named the captain of the Philadelphia Flyers. And today, John Tortorella made him a healthy scratch. He sat his captain, Chapman. not only did he sit his captain, but Sean Couturier has won a Selke trophy. The Flyers are playing the Toronto Maple Leafs. The Toronto Maple Leafs have a player by the name of Austin Matthews who leads the league in goals. And Philadelphia is fighting for their playoff lives. And listen, they have arrived ahead of schedule. No one expected Philadelphia would be a playoff team this season, but the Washington Capitals somehow amazingly, with a minus goal differential, are just 1 point back of Philadelphia for third spot in the Metropolitan Division, and Detroit's just 2 points back of Philadelphia in terms of the wild card, all of it. The Philadelphia Flyers need wins here. They need wins here. Sean Couturier missed all of last season, played 29 games over a two-year span, dealing with back injuries, works himself back into a position, back into a situation where he can play night in and night out this year. And while he has not played well of late, I don't understand how you can wrap your head around sitting a guy 32 days ago you named captain of your organization.
Yeah, it's a bit bizarre. I mean, it seems, even for Torts, it seems a little extreme. Internally, I don't think, you know, obviously we don't know what's going on behind the scenes in Philadelphia, but clearly you were confident enough that Sean Couturier could be a leader for your franchise.
Well, okay, hold on. That brings the question of who named the captain.
Well, I would imagine it was Danny Briere.
Don't you feel like it should be your coach?
Ah.
Because I'm with you. To me, it sounds like organizationally, Danny Briere looks at this team and he says Sean Couturier is the captain.
Yeah, and I don't know if Tortorella has
a willingness from your coach after 32 days to sit the captain?
Yeah, first of all, it's bizarre that Couturier would be benched at
right.
all. Like, regardless of if he's got a letter on his sweater or not, it seems wild. By the way, I guess good thing for Torts, he didn't bench Owen Tippett because he's got the only goal in the game, and the Flyers lead 1-0 over the Leafs about a minute to go in the first period there. But it's a strange, and look, there's two ways this goes.
Mm-hmm.
It either lights a fire under the asses of the Philadelphia Flyers and they
right.
start playing better hockey,
okay.
or this team says, this guy's completely lost the plot. What are we doing with him as our coach?
What do you do if you're Sean Couturier here?
I think I have a sit down with my coach and find out what's going on. Like, I think that's how a mature player handles it. I think Sean Couturier is clearly a mature player. I don't know if John Tortorella is a mature coach. Like, there's certain things that the guy does where you're like, wow.
You don't know if he's a mature coach?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of immature things he does, like refusing to leave the bench.
Come on. He was kind of justified in that.
Yeah, but it's childish. You get tossed. You got to leave, man. I get it. I get you're angry. But These are the rules.
Listen. The refusing to leave the bench was amazing. Like, it was great theater.
Yeah, Ryan, I get
it. It was wrong 100%.
I get a speeding ticket for going 46 at a 45. I could be as pissy as I want. I could be as pissy as Leon Draisaitl.
You're just going to leave the bench immediately?
No.
You're not even going to try to argue it?
You could argue it, yeah. But I mean, at the end of the day, you still got to pay the ticket.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Couturier spoke earlier, and these were the quotes. I thought they were brilliant. He said to Charlie O'Connor, and I quote, "Somewhat, but it doesn't matter, honestly, on whether or not he had talked to John Tortorella yet. Doesn't matter, honestly, what I think. Just got to leave my ego aside, I guess, and hopefully the team finds a way to get a win here tonight, and I can get back into it soon." Okay, like, listen, I don't understand. Here's my issue. If you want to bench Sean Couturier, by all means, go ahead and do it. Like, if you're John Tortorella, you think that gives you the best chance to win, okay, fine. They're leading 1-0, closing in on the first period. If this lights a fire under them, okay, great. But you're alienating your captain, and you just named the guy captain. I just don't understand doing that. It's embarrassing for the player to have the C on their chest, to be the leader of the men, and not be in the game.
Yeah, it's strange. Like, I mean, I don't know what the end game is here. Like, look, if the Flyers win this game, then Torts can go in the postgame. And I don't know if you mentioned it, but you put in the notes. He didn't do his post-practice media scrum today.
He did not. Which is a double-edged sword for me, because I'd love to hear Tortorella's commentary on it in the moment, but I also want to hear John Tortorella's commentary immediately following what happens with his team. Right?
Well, you know, if they win tonight, he's going to go up there and he's going to say he was justified in doing it.
100%.
And maybe he was. Maybe he was justified in doing it.
I just don't understand, because the message, the optics are terrible here.
Yeah,
they're just terrible.
I have a hard time with the benching of just Sean Couturier in general.
Right.
Because even on his worst day, he's better than most players on your team.
Even on his worst day, he's better than the 12 players that are playing ahead of him. Not all 12, but most of the 12.
Yeah.
And that's the part that I don't understand. You want to talk about accountability, all of that, that's fine, whatever. But the fact of the matter is, if you put the C on a guy, you have to give them a little bit more rope here. You have to allow them to go out there and be the leaders. And if you as the coach didn't agree to it or didn't want that to be the scenario, then you shouldn't have named a captain. Organizationally speaking, if everyone wasn't on board with this, and I can't get my head around this idea that everybody was, if 32 days later you're benching your captain, you shouldn't have named a captain.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's just, it's asinine to me. It's embarrassing for the player, and I just don't understand what it does for the team moving forward, because you might get the bump today. You might get the bump for a couple of games, but I just feel like that's going to do something to the room that you don't want it to do, and that's a problem for a team that's trying to chase down and solidify a playoff.
Yeah, long term, it's a losing proposition.
I agree with that. All right, come back, set up hour number 2 on the VGK Insider Show.